So this is the first episode of the Be Fast Cast. I'm Jamie, I'm here with my main man V. What's up, dog?
Yo.
We're basically going to be talking through all the things that we believe in to help humans upgrade the way they look, feel, think, perform, and live. So this is all about physical and mental well-being. It's not just a fitness podcast. When we kind of finished training and stuff, like V's been training with me for about 7 years now, and we finished training sessions and we just have these little kind of off-topic conversations, but where we kind of like find this, like, these little golden nuggets of things that can help people just to improve little aspects of their life in certain elements. So hope you get something from this, and yeah, welcome to episode number one.
Okay, James, since it's the first episode, I thought it'd be best maybe to revisit your journey. So like I've known, like you said, I've known you for 7 years. We met back in Five Ways Fitness back at Gracie Barra, where I was like the chubby Chinese kid doing Thai boxing and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you were the cool fitness trainer on the other side of the cage, training all these cool athletes and stuff. The reason I want to maybe focus on your journey a bit, because I know I've heard your story and members listening to this might have heard your story as well. But I thought it was really powerful, because that example I gave when I was kind of the guy doing one thing and looking at you as a fitness instructor, there's a certain image there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, start from the beginning. Tell me about how you ended up where you are now.
So I think like the best way to kick it off with is just to start with the fact that I was never the fitness person in school. And I think that's the biggest misconception that a lot of people have when they kind of look at personal trainers or people that work in like the fitness industry, is that they've done this stuff all their life. And I think that's probably one of the biggest barriers to entry for a lot of people, is they are kind of either nervous or apprehensive to get something started, thinking that anyone that's kind of in shape now has always done these things or always kind of, you know, been in fitness or sport or whatever. But for me personally, like I used to do athletics when I was young, talking like sort of up to about the age of 13. And then I just kind of stopped doing it. I had like a few like niggles, like knee pain issues, injuries and stuff like that. And I just kind of lost my motivation for doing it quite quickly after that. So the next kind of sort of 5-6 years of my life then just was, I was the computer game kid then as well.
Okay.
I know you can relate to that as well.
Yes.
So we were talking about Final Fantasy VII last week, mate, bad boy game. But yeah, I got stuck into that cycle instead. So it was more of for the next kind of up until I was like 20, I didn't do anything fitness based. I didn't do PE at school. I think as soon as it hit year 10, I didn't have to play PE sport in school anymore. I stopped doing anything.
Okay.
And I think that's the biggest thing, is people think that I probably did that all my life or played football or whatever. I'm probably the worst football player that I know personally.
How would you characterize your kind of health and well-being during that period of your life?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I suppose, you know, as a younger teenager in like mid-teens and stuff, you don't really start to think about it that much. I just kind of, you know, went home, went to school, come back, played some games, ate some junk food, ate some crisps and chocolate and this and that. And you don't really think too much about it at that age. But I think it was when I started getting like more towards like later teens, like 18, 19. Obviously when I started going out more, that's when I sort of felt like I started to feel or noticeably feel a bit worse. It's probably a combination of, you know, you hit 18, you start going out to the clubs or bars or whatever, you're drinking more than you would have when you was like younger. And for me personally, that was when I started to feel like I was kind of getting stuck into a bit of a trap and a bit of a rut. I say like, you know, like it was just kind of that typical work-life balance was all out of whack. So it'd be working Monday to Friday, and as soon as the weekend comes around, it's just the only thing I really had then to do was go out and sort of drink and party and all that sort of stuff. And that was just my routine, the typical 9 to 5, work every day and then go and sort of you know, live it for the weekend. And I think it just kind of got to a point where I just sort of felt like I was just getting a bit stuck, if you like. Yeah. A bit stuck with life and not really sort of going anywhere.
So what was your tipping point?
I remember the biggest thing was, I used to work for Jaguar back in the day. I did like an engineering apprenticeship, did a 4-year apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And I think that I remember sort of sitting one day in the canteen and just feeling knackered. And I was like, you know, at the time I was like 19, 20 years old. And I just felt completely knackered. And I was like, surely you can't feel like this at this age. It shouldn't be the right way to feel at this age. And I just thought, this is where I need to do something now. I'm not enjoying the job that I'm doing. I'm not enjoying just kind of feeling a bit crappy on a daily basis. Like, I need to start doing something to start feeling a bit better. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of spiraled from there, really, initially. So it started off with just, you know, like your gym membership with a few lads from the gym. We used to go there. We used to mess about. We used to chuck each other's towels in the pool and stuff. So it wasn't really a productive kind of like fitness routine, if you like. Yeah. But it kind of did get the ball rolling a little bit. But then I was still working at Jaguar at the time. This is when I went away with like my close friend from school, like my best mate in school. We went away. We went to Paphos in Cyprus. And we just walked up to the top of this church point. I don't know if that was something. There was like an epiphany moment there. I remember being sat on top of this hill. And I just said to him, I just hate what I'm doing at the minute. I feel rubbish all the time. I hate my job. I'm not enjoying it. And I just need to do something different. And he was just like, well, this is, why don't you just go and do it then? Just do something. Like, what can you do different now? And I kind of was telling him that I wanted to get into martial arts. Mm-hmm. I used to watch sort of like the K1 kickboxing on Sky. And I used to find those guys just dead inspirational, just dead powerful and athletic. And do you remember that film, Ong Bak?
Yes.
So Ong Bak, that was another inspiration. I was like, these guys are badass, man. I want to sort of do something like this. And I was telling him I'd like to get into it. And he's like, well, what's stopping you? And I was kind of like, well, nothing. I just think it's just, you know, the typical excuses of either not having time or not knowing where to go and dragging out all these kind of excuses and stuff. And he was just like, just you know, get on with it. Basically, gave me a kick up the ass I needed. Just go on, crack on and just start something.
Okay.
And that's kind of where it started, really, to sort of spiral from there.
From where you are. Mm-hmm. So from back then to where you are now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like you're going through the motions of like everyday life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to the point where you're thinking, oh crap, can't really do this anymore, because you reverted back into yourself.
Yeah.
You thought something needs to change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And that change was basically to get healthier, mm-hmm, and fitter. And you took the medium of going down the martial arts route,
mm-hmm,
right? Which is, I assume, where you Gracie Barrett.
Initially I started off doing Thai boxing first. So that was the first kind of protocol. Total Martial Arts in Coventry was my first ever club that I trained with. And they mainly did stand up and striking in Filipino martial arts like Kali and Panatukan, things like that. So these were like arts that I enjoyed them a lot. And then they started to introduce a bit more grappling side of things.
Okay.
And that, I don't know what it was with the grappling stuff, but that just kind of, for me, it just became addictive. And I was like, I need to learn more about this. I enjoyed the other stuff, but the grappling just had that little pull that I was like, I think I need to kind of work with this. And yeah, I just, obviously at the time, I was still working, still not enjoying the job, but at least I was doing something to kind of keep my mind occupied and keep myself sort of away from it.
You took this really hard step first to bring yourself out of the mentality. Is that right to say?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it is. It's just that first step. And I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of people. It's like to go somewhere. Like, this is where I kind of can relate to people that start in a fitness journey, is, you know, you're taking that first step. You don't really know anyone. I didn't know anyone that did like what I wanted to do. So it's just kind of having the initial, like, you know, there's a great book actually called Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. And he did a follow-up one called Tribe of Mentors. There's a wicked quote in there, and it was, if you can't be confident, be courageous. And that's the kind of little thing that clicked with me. I wasn't confident to go and start this class. I wasn't like confident in my ability. I didn't know any martial arts, I didn't know any skills, but I thought, it's, you know, it's having that courage to just go and try something and do something and take that first step out of there. So obviously that's something that I've found recently, that kind of looking back and reflecting, it was that initial having the courage just to go and try something different and just, yeah, like get out of the comfort zone so that you can start making them steps in the right direction.
Because I can relate to this, especially when starting like BJJ, Thai boxing and all that kind of stuff as well, a couple of years past you. And at that point, you were already going to the gym in your life, right? And when I started BJJ, all that kind of stuff too, I had no fitness kind of background. In fact, when I was in the TA and stuff, they labeled me as like the unfittest cadet there, right? And it was quite embarrassing, but I didn't care, right? So tell me, when you started your martial arts journey and you already had this mindset of maybe I should probably get a bit fitter, what was your health like then? What were you struggling in those sessions?
Yeah, because like when I started out, like I say, I hadn't really adapted my my diet from when I was like a 14-year-old. So it's pretty much just like eating a lot of junk food, not really eating proper meals. In terms of like, I just used to feel just tired constantly all the time. I remember that. So when I started training, I hadn't really changed anything other than just going and starting this training. I remember being like in like my kind of typical build in school. I was a really skinny kid, but I had a little pot belly from all the chocolate I used to eat. So I used to look like, literally, I just used to look like this little kind of, there's a cartoon, I think it's called Salad Fingers or something. And he's got this weird posture and he's just like scrawny and like unhealthy and weak. And that was kind of where I was at the time. And I remember like one of the very first sessions I went to, like there was actually a Thai fighter that come over to do a seminar. And this guy must have been like 50 kilos wet through, like tiny guy. And I was at the time probably about 68 kilos or something like that. So I was obviously bigger than he was, but he was quite short, quite powerful. But I just remember the strength that he had when we were going through some of the techniques, and especially like the clinch techniques, where if you're not familiar with Thai boxing, it's not just kicks and punches. There's a thing called the Thai clinch, where essentially you grab your opponent around the back of the head and then you manipulate their body using your kind of your body weight, your momentum, your like arms. And this tiny, tiny Thai boxer was just throwing me around. And I was like, man, is it like, am I super weak? Or is this guy just obviously like phenomenal at what he does? And obviously it was a little bit of both. But yeah, I remember just kind of the first few sessions feeling completely tired, knackered. Used to take me ages to recover from the training. And I think that's just like, it was a bit of an eye opener because I hadn't done anything in terms of activity for that long. There's just a bit of a shock to the system.
Like, can you relate to the whole kind of, okay, like, if something's really hard, right, there's a point where I'm thinking, I'm not making any progress mentally, physically, whatever, and I'm going to stop. Because that's an easy excuse to say.
Mm.
So you started this whole martial arts journey as your first step into the fitness world. What kept you going?
I think it was just, what kept me going was just, I just needed that way out of what I was doing. I found that, like, especially sort of towards like 19, 20, I wouldn't say I went through a phase of depression. I didn't really know what that was then, but I felt like my mood was super low quite a lot. I used to like isolate myself. It got to a point where I got sick of the partying and drinking, and I just used to stay in and watch films in my room, and just I used to do a bit of music, like DJing and production at the time. I used to use that as a little getaway as well. But obviously at the time, that was kind of, I just needed something to get me out of that rut, because I did feel literally trapped in a rut. I felt a bit stuck. I felt like I wasn't really, you know, going anywhere. I didn't know what I should be doing with my life. I knew I didn't want to do the engineering, but at the time, obviously, that was paying me the money that I needed to go out and do the things I was doing and buy the nicer clothes and go out and drink and stuff like that. It was funding all that kind of stuff and holidays and things like that. But I think that's what kind of kept me into the training, was it just became my way out of, it's just something to switch off from like the daily sort of grind and the daily routine you get stuck into. You know, like I'm sure if anyone's listening that's been in a phase where they feel like they're a bit stuck in the rut, sometimes it can just occupy your mind all the time, yep, thinking that you should be doing something different or trying something different. Or sometimes I even felt like, it sounds stupid now because I'm so young, but it's like you'd feel like kind of you're failing at life. And yeah, I know
it's that wasteland feeling.
Yeah, that's it.
You're constantly making excuses for yourself in your head and you're justifying it in your head.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But then that's the main thing. And I feel since look, I don't know anything. I didn't know anything about fitness back, like even a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And I don't want to blow smoke up your ass, but I wouldn't have known anything about fitness till I met you and Sophie anyway. Mm. So that's the thing that I want to latch onto, is in like, there's a mentality that changed in you during your own fitness journey.
Mm.
Right. And then you started making your own idea, like kind of philosophy around fitness as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. We all know what the fitness world says.
Mm.
We know, all know what the fitness world, the kind of image, the Instagram models, all that kind of stuff. We all know what they're trying, the kind of message they want to relay to people.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the philosophy that you've built different?
I think it's just the biggest thing is, like, especially these days, is like, it's just going back to that kind of background and that story. And for me, fitness was a way out of something that I didn't enjoy, a lifestyle that I wasn't enjoying, and it wasn't really productive for me, or it just wasn't kind of inspirational what I was doing at the time. I was just kind of stuck in this routine. And I more see fitness as a way out of something that you're stuck in. So, you know, having more physical strength, having more kind of like mental strength, they're the things for me that I find really important. They're things that like people don't focus enough on at the start of a fitness journey. And obviously we all start off that way of like a lot of people's journeys, they start off, they want to look better.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people start either. They're not happy with the way they look. They're not confident in whether it's clothes, outer clothes, whatever it is. But really at the crux of things, most people want to improve or change or adapt the way that they look, whether that's better posture. For me, it was like I used to notice it was like I used to have real dark eyes and bags all the time. Yeah. I've probably got them again now in a minute because I'm doing stupid hours again, but it's a different kind. So but at the time, when I wasn't really doing much, it was like, you know, my eyes were bad. I just kind of was slumpy. I was skinny. I didn't feel confident in clothes. I couldn't fill out a medium t-shirt to save my life. So I thought it's time to start working on them a little
bit. Too small or too big?
Yeah, too small, man. Too small. Literally, it was like a piece of string hanging out of a t-shirt that I wanted to sort out.
Controversial question here then.
Yes.
Do you think there's anything wrong with starting out that way, wanting to look better? Like, I want that sexy six pack.
Mm-hmm.
Anything wrong with making that the first step?
I don't think there is, no. And I think that's the biggest thing at the minute. This is where it gets interesting. And there's a lot of trains of thought on this, but there's nothing wrong with wanting to improve the way you look, because more often than not, it also helps to improve the way that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found is when I started to, you know, increase my strength a little bit, increase a bit more muscle mass, I would just hold myself differently.
Okay.
Like my posture was better. I would kind of be more confident walking around and things like that. And now I'm not like, I don't think anyone should chase perfection. And this is where that balance comes in, because I feel like these days people, they try and chase this kind of like, you know, this Instagram model physique and things like that, or this, you know, like the Kim Kardashian look and all this sort of stuff. This isn't real. So I think we have to get that balance right and not strive for this perfection, mm-hmm. like quote unquote perfection, whatever that means to people. But I do find that, you know, obviously owning a personal training studio, the things that we see is when people start to feel better and hold themselves better and change their body composition, you can see that change in people. You can see that confidence increase, whether it's like in or out of the gym, and you can see these things adding up. So I think it's a valid way to start. My only bit of advice is to people is tie that in with something else. Okay. So if you've got a goal you want to improve, like whether it's like fat loss, muscle gain, whatever it might be, I always say to people to try and tie that in with something that's not so based on aesthetics. So whether it's like focus on doing an activity you haven't done before, whether it's like, you know, like for us, it's like things like mud runs or rock climbing and stuff like that. Whether it's challenging yourself to lift a certain weight in the gym or try a new sport or do a new skill, something like that. I think if people can tie that the way they want to look, but also focus on the process of working towards something that's not just based on the looks and things like that, then I think that can be really powerful and can really help people to stay on track for the long term as well.
Did you have a point in your life when you were starting your fitness journey when you did that as well?
Yeah, so this is the reason why I kind of got out of the engineering and got into personal training and started a studio and going down that path was because I wanted to then, I started martial arts as a way out, just as something, a bit of a change of routine. But then I wanted to train more and I wanted to compete more. And I found that I would then start thinking about, for me, it wasn't just about building muscle and improving that confidence. It was like about then improving performance and reducing risk of injury for the sport that I was doing. So there was a definite turning point. And the reason why I kind of decided to get into personal training and that side of things was because I wanted to help other people do the same. But also just to give myself more flexibility and more of a routine to be able to train more, be able to do my own training around what I wanted and not just kind of the like after work sort of sessions. So yeah, there was a definite kind of transition from just starting out vanity wise and wanting to impress the girls and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm still in that phase.
I was so bad. I was so bad with women when I was younger.
In what way? Is it like you couldn't talk to them?
Yeah, just I had no confidence. Yeah, and yeah. I just like I was the proper like, you know, friend zone straight away and stuff as well. And I still can't talk to women these days. That's why Soph's happy. She can go away to Gran Canaria and not have to worry about me because I'm. Do struggle in that room anyway.
Would you feel more comfortable? Like, just I don't know how to describe it. It's this whole like I know, like you took off like ages when I first started training with you, right? I took a trip to Thailand, and there was a photo there of me in a vest, in shorts, right, doing the job that I was doing. And I looked at that photo thinking, I don't recognize myself. Is this what I really look like to other people? That kind of, that feeling you get. And you think, okay, and then you compare that to where you are now, right? And I'm still not, you're just not perfect, but it's progress. And that seems like the message you want to get across.
Yeah, definitely. And like another really, this is something that's really important as well. Like it's something I haven't kind of explored just yet and written down, but it's something I want to get across is that it's not always about as well. It's not always about constant improvement all the time. You know, there's times in your life when it's absolutely fine to just do the fitness thing for the sake of your mental well-being, rather than think you've always got to be working towards a goal of like, you know, building more muscle or lifting that thing or losing more body fat or whatever it is. At times in life, it's fine to just train and just exist and just you know, do it for your well-being rather than doing it for this kind of outcome. So I think that's something that's really important. I've got a guy, John Clark, I know from Fit360 in Worcester as well. So he's a great guy. That he put a great post up recently where he used to be a competitive strongman, but now he's kind of accepted that he doesn't want to go down that route anymore. So his strongest ever days are behind him, but now his focus has changed to something different. So he's not going to lift like the weights he used to lift now because he's not training that way, but he's now changing. He's doing more sort of fitness-based competitions in terms of like national fitness games and things like that, where it's not about the motion and lift, but it's about kind of an overall sort of fitness and things like that. But he wrote a great post saying that, you know, his strongest days are behind him, but that's okay. And it's just the way it is now is his focus is shifting and changing. And I think if you can start developing that mindset and understand that you're not always having to do more or lift more or be more, like your priorities change and things shift and focus. Like I probably myself at the minute, I'm not my strongest at the moment. I'm probably not my fittest at the moment. I'm definitely not like the sort of the biggest I've ever been in terms of like sort of muscle and strength wise. But at the minute, like the focus is different. So the focus now is on, you know, we've changed a lot within the business the last sort of 6 to 12 months. So focus on working on that more now. And fitness is a way to keep my energy up for those tasks rather than, you know, being fit for the sake of being fit. It's a different kind of process. So I'm going to have to probably write a bit of a blog on this because there's a lot of little things that delve into this as well. But it is something that I want people to take on board is that you don't always have to focus on lifting more and striving for more. Your priorities will change, your routines will change, but if you can develop that foundation of good habits and like, you know, strong principles that are going to keep you healthy and keep you like sort of fitter in body and mind, then that's ultimately the end goal for anyone, I think.
I feel that passion. I feel it. Well, that's it. We've hit all the high points in your life. We've hit all the kind of all the transitional little changes and stuff. Like I've known Jamie from Gracie when he was Five Ways Fitness. And he moved to start his own BFast Fitness. And I'm sitting next to him now. I'm looking at him doing this whole little first episode podcast. I'm thinking, wow, a lot has changed. And I could see what you're saying and like the message you're trying to give to like people and the people that you're coaching and how you're applying that to your own life as well. But if you were to sum up your kind of fitness ideology in 20 seconds, could you do it off the dome?
It's going to be tough. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you our five principles. So BFAST is actually an acronym for our fitness principles, our little code, if you like. So it's balance, function, attitude, self-awareness, and taking control. And they're our little framework, kind of developing a routine where you're getting the balance right between, you know, getting the fitness goals and getting the results that you want, but not becoming so obsessed that you end up like destroying you, like your friendships or your family life or getting too obsessed with it. Like, you know, we don't want to go down that route. Function is being able to function well in both body and mind. So it's having the energy and mental clarity to know, be at your best on a daily basis. Also having the physical function to be able to try new things. Like, I know this is long-term thinking, but remain independent, remain strong, and be able to just kind of keep yourself in a good physical condition that's going to hopefully pass down to the next generation as well. Attitude is, so this is like the attitude of just being willing to, you know, put in the work to get the results you want to get as well. You know, we're not a weight loss club. We don't believe in quick fixes. We don't believe in like dieting for diet's sake. We want people to develop an attitude of the things that you work for is worth working for them because the long-term outcome is a lot more beneficial for you. Self-awareness is, you know, understanding if something's not going right at the minute, is being able to kind of take a step back, being able to kind of analyze a little bit more about where you could be going off track, and having the self-awareness to think, okay, probably this isn't helping me serve me to get towards my goal right now. So this is what I need to change. And the last one is taking control. It's basically the same sort of thing, taking control of your actions, taking control of your energy, taking control of your time, and tying all these things together and realizing that, you know, it is on us at the end of the day. You can hire the best trainer in the world or the best coach or the best business person, whatever it might be. But ultimately, all they can really do is guide you and give you the tools. You're then the person that's got to go and put these tools into use and into action. So that was a little bit longer than 20 seconds, but that was kind of the guiding principles.
20 seconds of my dollars or whatever. Cool. Okay. So we could wrap that up there, I guess. And if you enjoyed this podcast, what would you say to the people? If you enjoyed this podcast, let us know what you guys want to hear about. Because I've got a lot of, like, I want to talk about things like mental health and fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like motivation, influences, all these different facets of life that incorporate into the fitness, everyone's individual fitness journey anyway. So if you want to hear more stuff about that, or you want to hear more individual stories, let us know.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Stay tuned. I think what people say, they tell you to subscribe and leave
the like button. We've
got to do that. Hit the like button, share it around. But yeah, hopefully you enjoy this format. We'll try and keep into this sort of time as well. But sometimes it's nice just to chuck the headphones on and not have to watch or read anything. So we'll see how we go with this. But yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Obviously, we'll be getting more blogs and things up going for this as well. So we'll link to those. But yeah, it's been fun, brother.
Oh, cool. Next time.
Push.